Good morning. It's 7:33, and it is time now for the Bird Migration Report. Joining me in the studio here is Pam Randles. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
I think it's a kick that the bird note was about trying to get gulls to poop on periscopes.
It's time to train your gulls, weaponize your gulls to poop on periscopes.
And that actually is a segue into what I was going to talk about today.
Because we're going to talk about pooping on periscopes?
No.
Okay.
But we are talking about coping or co-opting birds and how it has led us down the garden path.
Okay.
So almost 100 years ago now, birds were caught and sold commercially. The feathers. Remember all those feathered hats, people?
Yeah.
And it got to the point.
Not personally, but.
Yeah. But it got to the point where it was just too much, and the bird populations were suffering. And it was primarily the migrating birds that were going from South America to northern North America that got nailed. Mm-hmm. And so in 1918, they came up with the Migratory Bird Treaty Act, which meant that you couldn't just wholesale take all those birds.
Gotcha.
And in recognition of that, this coming Saturday, the second Saturday in May, and it always is International Migratory Bird Day.
Okay.
And so
I love the way you segued from pooping on periscopes to International Migratory Bird Day. Anyway, continue. Tell us about it.
And so a lot of fanatic, crazy, loony birders will use.
The first step is admitting you have a problem.
Yes. Will use International Migratory Bird Day as a big day. Big day meaning you try to get as many different species as possible. Now, that's different from the Christmas count, which means you're counting every single bird.
Right.
But for Migratory Bird Day, you're trying for as many different species as possible. And Audubon has a team, and Cornell has a team.
Nice.
And this time, I think Cornell's team is going to Belize and to see how many birds they can get.
That's cheating. You mean you can do your
big
day anywhere?
I want to do that. Oh, yeah.
You can't just do it in your backyard or something?
No, you can do it anywhere.
Can you do it at, like, the zoo?
No, because those aren't wild birds, you twit.
I'm a full believer in doing the easy way.
Right. At any rate, the theme for this year's Migratory Bird Day is stopover sites. Mm-hmm. Now, imagine you are living in the golding rush era, and you are walking and boating from Skagway to Circle City or whatever.
Right.
And what you paddle all day long, and then you want to stop someplace where you can get a meal, maybe even, oh my God, a shower.
Yeah.
And a bed to sleep in. Well, that's what a stopover site is for a bird.
Sounds like a roadhouse.
Yeah, it's like a roadhouse. Exactly.
Okay.
And it has to have food, plenty of food, because they have flown off all the fat they ever had,
right,
and then some, and then it also has to be relatively safe as it ever gets to be a small bird, for instance, and it has to have a little bit of shelter. Now, a lot of birds fly at night, so these are daytime things, and that, you know, a whole hundreds or thousands or whatever will come flying in and just eat, sleep, get up and go again. And so there's some famous ones like the Platte River.
Okay.
For sandhill cranes and snow geese and all that kind of stuff. And we have one here in Haines. Yep, that's right.
We're a famous roadhouse.
Yes, that's right. It's the Chilkat River Roadhouse between Pyramid Island and Jones Point. And I'm sure that people living out there know exactly what I'm talking about.
Because they haven't gotten any sleep in weeks.
That's right. Yes. And it coincides with the hooligan run. They're not all there for the hooligan because they don't all eat hooligan. But it's a prime time. It's at the peaking of migrations, both fishy and birdie. And so we have gulls. Some of them are migratory, like the Bonapartes and the Arctic terns. And Arctic terns are long-distance winters.
Right.
Something like 20,000 miles a year round trip.
Whew.
Yeah. And then we've got ducks and geese and swans, and we've got sandpipers by the 8 bazillion.
Yep.
And they crack me up because these little teeny birds with long legs and long beaks, they can fly in by the hundreds and they go around and poke their beaks into the mud
right,
and then fly someplace else. And, but one of them was kind of interesting this year. It's called a Hudsonian godwit. Mm-hmm. And they're pretty big sandpipers. This one comes from southern South America, same as the Arctic tern.
So when we're talking big, are we talking like
for a sandpiper?
Football-sized. Football-sized. Oh, nice.
With long legs and a long, slightly upturned beak.
Okay.
And they are always a prize among birders because they're, first of all, they're major Olympic athletes.
Right.
But secondly, they're never abundant. Uh-huh. And so it's woo, it's right. Cool.
And you're sure you went and saw these and checked them out?
Several times, actually.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
You know, and Cornell says, are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. Did you see them fly? Yes, I saw them fly. I know the wing pattern, the tail pattern. In this case, they have a white rump like a harrier. And so then you get all of these songbirds and sandpipers and all this stuff coming. And then you get the things that eat them.
Ah, yes.
Like northern harriers, which also have a northern harriers, that was. Right. I said it really slurry.
Not to be confused with the military jet.
That's right. These are northern harriers, not just plain harriers.
Right.
And these have white rumps, which, you know, planes don't.
Right. And, that we know of.
Yeah. And so they're coming, cruising along, following their food. Mm-hmm. And so it works up the whole food chain. And you get tens of thousands of birds coming up the Chilkat.
It's cool.
It is. It's very cool.
So that's this Saturday.
Yeah. Is International Migratory Bird Day. And if mm-hmm. you choose to go out and get species, do it. It's mm-hmm. fun. And it's an excuse to get away from the dailiness of life.
Right. And know? Is it something that we report on? Or are we keeping track just for our own bragging rights?
Well, there are lots of birders who do that.
Right.
But a lot of them report on eBird. And anybody can go to eBird. And
E-B-I-R-D.
See, yeah.
Okay.
E as in electronic.
Gotcha.
And so you can see what people are doing here mm-hmm. by going to eBird and seeing what their lists are and how many they've got mm-hmm. and give you an idea of what you're looking for.
Okay.
Now, our migration is slowing down pretty much radically, so it might not be as variable as it was last week.
Right.
Because last week it was quite stunning.
birds everywhere.
Yeah, and those little bazillion sandpipers flying all over, and it's like, what the heck is that particular little tiny thing?
I don't know how you can tell any of them apart.
It's not easy.
They just move their way up the water doing that little head thing.
And then they
love the head thing.
Yeah, the head thing. But also they are sticking their beaks in the mud all the time because mm-hmm. supposedly there's food down there. It, you know, beats me.
I assume that there'd be food down there. Otherwise, I don't know. Maybe it cools off the tip of their beak.
No, I think it's food.
Okay. All right. Well, we are out of time. And this is the last bird migration report for the year.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's, you know, going from the migration season to the now we need to make money season.
That's right.
So everybody have a great time, and we will be back again next spring at least, and who knows, jump in if something exciting flies through town.
Yeah, and keep an eye on Haynes Birders and eBird, and you can find out what's going on.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you so much for joining us and educating us a little and keeping us educated in Twitcher culture.
And watching our flying neighbors.
Yes, and watching our flying neighbors, which are a lot of fun.
Yes.